Hello, and welcome back to the Well Women podcast. I am Dr. Laura Pfeiffer, naturopathic doctor and creator of the Period Passport and Her Time of the Month membership.
And I'm Ashley LeClaire, mental health and resiliency coach and consultant and owner of ALC Wellness.
Hey.
Hi. So,
I mean, if you guys listened to our last or like our Period Panty episode, you saw that you heard that we were doing video and then you probably didn't see that video anywhere.
Nope.
The reason why is because we were just like, you know, toying around with tech options and ideas and ways in which we could put this on YouTube as well as on our podcast. And we just epically failed at that one. So I didn't put the video up because literally it was just Ashley, because I was speaking most of the time. It was my episode. I was hosting it. And the video was only Ashley.
Just sitting there like, sitting there.
This is not going to be an effective way to convey our message. So this is the video. We are recording this like full grown tech people. Like, we are doing this. So this will be available on YouTube and our podcast. So I'm super excited about that. But Ashley, let's start by recapping our week. What's new in ALC Wellness? I'll tell you that I just found out that my side part makes me old.
No comment.
Yeah. So
I've been rocking the center part for a while.
I was on TikTok. So like, for those of you who don't know, I have a big round face. So in case you haven't realized, you've seen me, I have a big round face and I have big cheeks that like go really high. And it's just, I have this like chin that, you know, does its own thing. And since I was young, it was always the side part. A middle part was always like so severe to me. And I didn't think it was like an old, young, cool, hip thing. I just thought it was the shape of your face looked good with certain parts. And I was on TikTok the other day and my husband's sitting beside me and I'm like listening to this video and they were saying it as if, like, obviously you're old if you have a side part. Like, it wasn't like I was kind of catching it in the end being like, wait, are they implying? So anyways, I'm just here to say that that's what I found out. So what's new with you? What's new with ALC Wellness?
Well, I've definitely haven't had a center part for a while. I find that it's very slimming for my face shape. So maybe you should give it a try.
No, but your face is not round like mine.
Mine's like oval. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I also realized I'm really old because one of my clients that's a teenager this week asked me if I even knew what TikTok was. So there's that. Yeah, no big deal. It's not like I educate people on TikTok or anything. It's fine.
Yeah,
of course I know.
No, because like, you're old.
I literally gave her this look like, I didn't know if she was joking. And then I'm like, oh shit, she's serious. Like, this is real.
Yeah, because
I also learned a whole bunch of things that are like in right now, like blinging out your cars. I don't even know if the term blinging out is right.
Wait, what do they do?
So they like put LED lights in their rooms, which is like a big thing right now, LED lights in rooms.
I'm sure that's really good for their sleep.
Totally good. She also said that they attract bugs. So it's also a bug thing, which is really gross.
Oh.
So they put LED lights in their cars and they like put all these cool gadgets, which I think is super cool. Like, I remember, okay, side note, Laura was the first person in our friend group to get her license because she's the oldest.
I thought you were gonna say I had lights in my room. I was like, I don't remember.
No, I'm talking about your car.
Okay,
so she was the first person to have a car and she had a Ford Taurus, and I'll never forget this thing. And I remember going to Canadian Tire and like, I don't know if you remember this, Laura.
Maybe.
And I remember buying you like cool stuff for your car. Do you remember that?
I think I got you like a
garbage bin and maybe like an air freshener.
A garbage bin. Because that's what I was going to say. Like, oh, probably a seat cover or like a steering wheel cover. Like, no,
those are in now, but they weren't in back then, I don't think, were they?
Well, I remember with my Ford Taurus, so my transmission used to slip casually. So
yeah, I remember that.
We would have to, my brother and I would be driving to the middle of nowhere where we lived, north of Barrie, and I would go up. So in the winter, I'd be like going up a hill on Doran Road, and I would be at this, like, you know where you turn onto Gill, like from Doran to Gill. So I would be going up and I would be like, I would have to, I don't even know how to explain it. My car would be in drive, but in order to get, I had to go into like overdrive and to get up the hill, and I'd have to like floor it, and it would be like, we would sit there for a minute and it would be like, you could like feel it pick up. And then we would go. And you know how scary that is when you're turning left at a light?
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, so this just shows that Laura and I learned this week that we're old.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Laura is already 30. I am almost 30. So we're there. Anyways, also, I've decided that what I'm going to do. So today we're going to be talking about coping, which is really cool and totally like my kind of jam. So what I've decided to do is when an episode that is related to me, because you guys will find that we have episodes that Dr. Laura talks a lot of, in one, because that's her specialty. And then there's the other side of that I talk a lot and kind of put in my my interest and my knowledge. So for episodes that are mine, so to speak, I will be posting on Instagram a like information, tips and tricks, practical tools type thing, so that you can actually have something to go away with. So today we're going to talk a lot about coping. We're going to talk about some strategies, but then you'll be able to actually look at my Instagram page and see it there on my grid, so you don't have to be taking notes or worrying about not remembering.
Okay? Amazing.
So go there, check it out, save, share, all that good stuff, alc.wellness.
And just as a side note to that, for those who don't know, Instagram loves saving and sharing. So to support your people on Instagram, the best thing you can do, even if you don't want to share it, save the post. It's not just likes anymore, unfortunately. It's like all the metrics, and Instagram cares about engagement. So if something strikes you, and I notice this with myself, I'll be scrolling TikTok. TikTok is not a platform I create on. And sometimes I will laugh at a video out loud, or I'll make a comment, and then I don't do anything about it. And I had to like really check myself last week and say, these creators are making things for me. I am laughing at it. I am enjoying it. So I started liking it, sharing it, engaging with it, making a comment. So if something is funny, or you find it inspiring, or you find it informational, comment. We love to see your comments, because it not only helps us understand what you guys like to see on our Instagram feeds, but it also boosts our algorithm, and it's something free that you can do to support us.
Absolutely. Great, great point. Okay, so shall we jump in, since we
just do it.
Talked a lot about nothing. just about how we're old and how Laura's Taurus will always be in my brain. Okay, so today we're talking about coping. So coping is something that I think is even just the term is so loaded. We often underestimate kind of how we cope, and the fact that we do cope almost constantly, right? Especially in a world of COVID, we are constantly coping with this crazy, stressful, hard to understand world. And we don't give ourselves enough credit for it. A lot of the times we kind of label our coping skills as either healthy or unhealthy. And I think And I think that that's a problem. So let's start with that. So in my opinion, okay, we all know that there are certain coping skills that are going to be better for our overall well-being. I understand that. But the last thing I want us to be doing is to be labeling our coping and making us feel more guilty and more shameful. So for example, if you decide that your way of coping this evening is to binge watch Love Island or The Bachelor, then so, oh, it's Bachelor night.
It is Bachelor night.
Woo! Then so be it. Like, do not give yourself that label of, oh, you know, I should be journaling or meditating or doing yoga. Sure, those are fantastic options, but it doesn't always have to be that. And I think the stress and the guilt that we feel is so much more detrimental to our health overall, because stress, obviously, and we're going to talk about this in a second, is just so toxic to our body. So if we can remove some of that pressure, take away some of these labels, and understand that coping is literally keeping us alive, which, let's show that some respect. Like, we made it here. However you've coped, you've made it here. you're here today. We're having this conversation. And I'm just glad about that. So
yeah, I was just sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, I was listening to a podcast and he was talking about should, and this like should word
right.
coming with a lot of shame. It's like, oh, I should work out, or I should eat healthy, or I should. And it really comes as a loaded term. And he was actually talking about it. It's a business, an online business podcast. They had like a self-love person on there. And he was just talking about the things that we should do really hinder us from actually doing things. So I think it's interesting that you spoke about should specifically, because it does carry a lot of shame and carry a lot of weight.
Absolutely. And the more we feel guilty and shameful, the more we're going to go towards those coping skills that aren't as helpful to our long-term well-being. So I'm trying to remove the language of healthy versus unhealthy, or good versus bad, or, you know, these things that we should be doing. Yes, I know that it is better for my long-term health right now to be eating a certain way, to be exercising every single day. But guess what? We're in the middle of a damn pandemic, and I just want to get through it. So I think it's really important that we kind of give ourselves a little bit of grace in this situation. So yeah. Some ways that people cope now, let's, you know, just flush that out. Obviously there's coaching and therapy and support options. There's exercise, there's food, whether that be, you know, more of a nourishing, healthy type of food, or more of a comfort kind of heavy type of food. There's the yoga, meditation, binge watching TV, sleeping, all of those types of things. There's so many ways that we cope every single day. What we need to understand is the impact that stress has on our body. And that's probably something that we could spend an entire episode talking about. So we won't dive too deep into stress right now. But ultimately, it is very impactful to our body. And what we need to be doing in times of stress is soothing our bodies and soothing what is called our nervous system. And I'm sure lots of us have heard the term nervous system before in like science classes. But to me, it's really interesting. So there's actually a neurological system in our body that we can trigger ourselves, which is really cool, to help us feel less stressed, more peaceful, and more happy. Okay. So that system is called the parasympathetic nervous system, which is part of the autonomic nervous system. So I won't get too deep into the sciencey stuff of it, because it does take a lot of time to kind of understand these concepts. What the point is that we can trigger it ourselves. So we can do things to soothe, okay, or to cope. So the autonomic nervous system is actually something that regulates our body, and it's very unconscious. So a lot of the times we have no idea it's happening. So it's what's regulating our breathing, our heart rate, our blood pressure, all of those things. And it has two different wings to it. So it has the parasympathetic nervous system and the sympathetic nervous system. And they work in tangent, and they're important. Again, I said I wasn't going to get sciencey, but here I am. I think it's important to understand the two, because they work kind of against each other, but also together. So you'll see how that makes sense in a second. So our sympathetic nervous system deals with the immediate rapid response to changing environmental conditions. So that's our fight, flight, freeze response. Okay. So you'll hear me talk about these things a lot in the podcast, but also on my Instagram. That is our kind of stress response is going to lead us to those three things: fight, flight, or freeze. And our sympathetic nervous system is what leads us that direction. So when we're stressed or we're threatened, that is activated. Okay. So we're going to see obviously an increase in heart rate. We're going to see our breathing increase. We're going to see lots of changes in our body that are helpful from a kind of a protection evolutionary standpoint, but not necessarily in our everyday lives now, because we don't need to be ready to flee in, you know, all of our situations that now our body is kind of trained to do. So what's really interesting is the parasympathetic nervous system, which is kind of on the opposite wing, actually allows us to recover from stressful situations. So it allows us to regain homeostasis, which means come back to the norm. Okay. So how we can ultimately engage our parasympathetic nervous system is through breathing, which is such a cool and easy and simple way to implement into your everyday life. Okay. So most of us live in a chronic state of stress, especially right now through COVID, right? Yeah. Moms are constantly stressed way before COVID happened. That's the norm. Yeah. Entrepreneurs are stressed. Students are stressed. People at work are stressed. Stress is such a common part of our life. So we are constantly having our sympathetic nervous system being overactivated.
I just want to jump in and just say, our sympathetic nervous system, for people who are kind of wondering that other portions that this impacts in our life, think about your state of chronic stress, not only your mental health, but think about that extra weight that you've gained, that we look at it, that spare tire. Women always complain about that. A lot of that is a stress response, a chronic mm-hmm. stress response. It's protective. It's your body protecting your vital organs, right? We have mm-hmm. a tendency to get that more of that weight stored there because it's protective. Our body is innately protecting ourselves. The other thing is parasympathetic is also rest and digest. Mm-hmm. And so our digestive system is working. Now, if we're in that sympathetic state, I always say to my patients, we are running from a bear. We don't care about absorbing nutrients. We don't care about reproduction. We don't care about getting rid of any sort of caloric excess. We're storing, we're saving, and we're protecting. And so from not only a mental health perspective, but also a physical body perspective, this is huge. This state of stress is going to impact everything from your reproductive health to your digestive health to everything else in between. And so kind of circling back to this chronic state of stress, a lot of people will come to see me and their first thing is, I want to lose weight, but they won't actually acknowledge the other pieces that are going on.
Right. That's such an important thing. And thank you so much for sharing. This is why we need a naturopathic doctor on every podcast, like add the science part. So I think that's such an important piece. So obviously I come from a mental health lens and Laura comes from more of the like female women's health, reproductive piece. And when we look at it, it's also interconnected. So when it comes to, you know, your fertility or weight loss or overall health, we ultimately need to be looking at our stress levels. How are we coping with stress? So back to the term of what this segment is really about, coping with that stress and making sure that we can manage it effectively. And we're using it to really, you know, strengthen and develop ourselves. What we need to understand is stress was and is something that, like you said, it's very evolutionary. You mentioned the bear. We have been, you know, we are so, it's so funny. We're so advanced, but this part of our body is so not advanced. Like, we will not be chased by saber-toothed tigers when we leave our house. It's not like I'm walking out of my cave and there's a saber-toothed tiger that I need to worry about, right? But our body is still so hardwired to think that I need to worry about these things. So we're just not advanced at all in that sense. So what we need to do is we need to train our body and help our body to develop these skills so that we can actually soothe and cope in a long-term, more productive way, if that makes sense. Okay. So how can we do this? So deep breathing is going to be one of the biggest things. It is something that is going to instantly soothe, instantly bring ourselves down. It connects very much with mindfulness, which we have done a podcast on. So mindfulness and deep breathing come into play and we'll soothe and we'll bring ourselves back. Affirmations can be a really cool tool. So not only with our deep breathing, but throughout our day as well, just to bring ourselves back and to do some grounding. One thing that I think is really overlooked is the impact of play. And play is something that I did not have a part of my life for a really long time. I thought, what do you mean play? Like, I'm too cool.
Well, I don't think I do. Like,
well, but you have a toddler. Like, don't you play with him?
Sure. Yes. But before I had a toddler, what?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So before I became an aunt, I had no idea what play was. And like, with my ex, he had two young niece and nephews when I was with him, and we would play all the time. We had so much fun, and it was such a impactful feeling, and it was it was so incredible how it could change your mood, your anxiety levels, your stress, just to play. And then I started to implement that into my everyday life. So, I mean, I'm not great at it now, I'll be honest. And let's be honest, how are we supposed to play when we're locked up in our house? But to try to, you know, get out and actually do things that involve laughter and moving your body and engaging in things that are a little bit different, right?
Tobogganing.
Right. How fun. I know. Yes. I should actually go. Yeah. So my nephew has he got a GT, you know, those like GT racers for Christmas. He's way too small for it, but I keep trying to get him to like get on it with me so that we like, it's not like I'm going on it myself, even though I really want to go on it myself. Anyways, I'm going to see him today outside. You know, so maybe I'll do that.
Isn't there those, I feel like there is a jumping place for adults.
Yeah, the trampoline place?
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay, that's a really great example, Laura. So there's X Play, which I've been to. I know you don't like bladder leakage, so I won't get into the fact that I
I don't like bladder leakage.
I know that you're like, that's a problem. So next time I go to X Play, I will definitely wear a pad, but it was so fun, like so fun. And it really just, you know, brings you back to that kind of like kid feeling. Anyways, we so went, I'm on a crazy tangent here.
Of play.
It is, absolutely. I'm just distracted by how I had to sit out at one point and let my like lower half dry out.
wait, can we just go into this? Can you tell me this story?
So I was in like leggings, and I was in like these like army green color kind of leggings. Okay. So they're not like super dark, but like kind of.
Yeah.
Anyways. jumping, couple falls on my head, you know, whatever.
You had to catch.
And I took one good tumble. And I may have peed a little. And I had to go and sit by myself and let my pants dry out because I didn't have, like, I didn't want to be up and like moving around.
Okay, well, that sounds like not a pee a little. That sounds like a pee a lot situation if you had to sit out.
I mean, a little.
Okay, yeah. Was it like a fear pee? Were you like unconscious?
No, I think it was just like my body was just like flailing everywhere and I was just trying to protect myself. And then maybe on impact, I was like, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but.
Well, I'm just going to say that you need to get a pelvic floor physio before you have kids.
I'm surprised this is the first time you've ever told me that, honestly.
Me too, honestly.
okay, so I'll write that down. I'll go to physio for
I'm just thinking of all the ways that I've like done play and done things that are actually fun and active. And I can think of off the top of my head, like, I don't know. Mini golf, mini putt,
yeah.
Whatever, that's fun. But other than that, I'm like, what do I do now? Everything's closed, so nothing's fun anymore. Nothing's fun. But like Wonderland, like doing things that like get you happy and out and about. I can't think of anything now other than walking my dog.
I actually have a quite a bit of fun in the backyard. I'll take my backyard is not fenced, but I take my dog out on her really long leash and she'll run and jump and she like dives in the snow and like we just kind of like laugh and play together and like that
laughs.
Pardon?
Your dog.
Shut up. Yeah, my dog laughs. No, she smiles at me.
I'm dead.
Anyways. Yeah, so that's always fun too.
We laugh together and tell secrets.
We laugh. She is my best friend.
That's truly cute. My dog's my bestie.
I mean, I'm locked in the house, so. Okay, back to this. So coping. I don't even know where we're at, guys. Okay, so this has been a really great attempt at talking about coping without getting too distracted by the video. Okay, so bringing it back here. So coping obviously is something that it's so individualized, right? It's going to be so different for each person. Some people, you know, quiet time is really good for them. Other people, engaging with people and actually sharing a special moment with someone is very important. What it's about is finding what works for you. So what I do with clients is typically I will, we kind of talk together about what does their current coping skills look like and how can we implement things that might be a little bit better for our overall long-term well-being. So I typically will work with them to determine, okay, what are a few things we can try right off the bat? Because I really like when my clients are able to, on the first time meeting me, are able to leave with tangible things to try. I think way too often we get suckered into like talking about all of our problems and then the time is up and it's like, wait, I don't actually have anything to do or where to go with this, right? So it's very important to me that every client leaves with something tangible to do or a few things. So let me give you some examples. Quite often and very strategically, I do this very strategically, is the deep breathing. Like right off the bat, that's something that almost I will tell every client to try to practice. And the thing for me is that I don't want anything to add more stress. And deep breathing, when you start to acknowledge deep breathing, and we talked about this in a podcast episode before, when you start to actually acknowledge it and try it, you start to realize how you don't actually breathe deeply. Like you're like, oh shit, that's not deep at all, right? And we start to actually acknowledge the fact that this isn't something that comes as easily and as naturally as we thought. So even just practicing to get our breath a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper, a little bit deeper, sometimes it can be very challenging. It's like you almost hit like a wall in your kind of belly and you're like, oh, that's as far as I can go. So I don't ever want my clients to overextend themselves, obviously, but the more we practice and the deeper we go, overall, it's going to be more impactful and it's going to soothe your nervous system even more. So deep breathing, always, always, always a first step. Mindfulness is a really, really great option as well. So we won't get too into mindfulness because we will have a full episode on that. But it is, you know, bringing awareness to the sensations in our body without judgment and with just complete understanding, letting thoughts and feelings pass and just really doing that kind of focus internal work. That can be a really great exercise. And then I was doing some research and I actually found something. I'm going to pull it up so I can, no, never mind. It's gone. It's so far gone. But what it is deep breathing, noticing your heart. It's kind of a combination between affirmations and deep breathing. So what you're doing is you're
something in my eye.
Oh, are you okay?
People watching me flutter on the video. Sorry.
That's okay. So it's deep breathing mixed with mindfulness where you're being attuned to what's going on inside, but you're also using a term or an affirmation while you're doing the deep breathing. So you're kind of including it into the breath. So when you breathe in, you're going to, you know, say your affirmation or your word that you've chosen. And then when you breathe out, you're kind of breathing out all of that negativity. So there's lots of kind of cool ways to involve breath and mindfulness into your everyday coping. And the best thing about this is it's like super easy. People don't even need to know that you're doing it. Like you could be doing your breathing right now. One thing that I do almost all the time, especially when I'm working with clients, and I'm doing it right now and you wouldn't know, I put my 2 feet flat on the ground. Okay. And what I do is I imagine that there's like roots growing from my feet and they're growing all the way into the soil underneath me. And yes, I live upstairs. So there's lots of room where those roots have to grow, but they go down into the soil and they make me feel grounded. So when I am in a space where I need to be physically grounded, whether it be for clients or let's say for moms, when they're in a moment where, you know, I need to feel like I have actually got this and I'm strong and I'm grounded, just putting 2 feet on the ground and feeling kind of those roots can really be helpful. Sounds a little kind of woo, but it works for me.
Can you give us an example of affirmations? Because I always hear affirmations being spoken about, but it's kind of like one of those things that I feel like everybody assumes. It's kind of like the word self-care. It's like everybody.
True. You're right.
But absolutely. What are affirmations? And give us an example.
So affirmations are small little sayings or sentences that are used to make you feel a certain way, maybe pull up certain emotions for you. So for example, an affirmation, let's say someone is dealing with abandonment issues, okay? So an affirmation for them when they feel like people always leave them or, you know, they're not loved would be, I am lovable. Okay. So for example, they would remind themselves of that throughout their day. So it's almost kind of like retraining our brain a little bit too. So it's implementing these small little tidbits of information throughout our day so that we can eventually start to believe it as well. So it would be like, if I was doing my breathing, it would be, okay, I am lovable. And then, you know, or what I do, I'll put them on a sticky note and I'll stick them onto my computer, right? So I am worthy, I am lovable, I am powerful. So it's what you kind of want to feel and like engage with and what you want to put out into the world. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And do you go through with clients and figure out what their affirmations should be? Is this something we should do on our own? And how do we know where to start? Like, does everybody have to say, I'm powerful? Obviously, that's great.
Some people probably think that's like really weird, and that's totally fine. Affirmations are so personal. So some clients, I will absolutely help them with that for sure. Others who are a little bit maybe more confident or a little bit more down the road in their healing journey often will take that on themselves. Typically what I would try to do is work with them to determine where is the pain point really, because ultimately our affirmations are quite often rooted in a pain point, whether that be abandonment or, you know, self-esteem, whatever that looks like, mom guilt, it could be anything, right? So what I would often do is determine, okay, you know, you're experiencing a lot of guilt around your parenting. So, you know, maybe your affirmation could be, actually, I wouldn't even suggest an affirmation. It would be more them. I would help support them in determining what it would be, if that makes sense. It's not up to me to make that call.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So affirmations can be a really great option. More ways to soothe your nervous system: meditation, massage, physical touch. There's lots of really great options. So what I would kind of challenge everyone is to start practicing some breathing. And I'm going to post some breathing exercises, a mindfulness exercise as well, so that we can actually start to practice these things together. And then if you have any questions about how to kind of implement some of these strategies into your life, ask me. But also, Laura, you bring up a really good point around people not really knowing what affirmations are or where to start with them. So that kind of reminds me that maybe I can do some Instagram work around that as well. So I'll kind of think about what that looks like. So check out my Instagram and we'll do some affirmation work as a community on there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that just really spelling it out so people understand, because I think a lot of these words I'm going to put out are looked at like they're fluffy, right? A lot of them are fluffy and they don't really have any, like, I come back to this self-care. And the podcast I listened to this morning, actually, and I was listening, he was talking about the should and shouldn't and the guilt around that. But he was also talking about self-love versus self-care, and showing yourself love doesn't always mean or translate to the self-care practices.
Absolutely.
So I think defining a lot of these terms on social media, I think will be helpful for a lot of people in addition to listening to this. But I would also add to the coping, I would say also do your deep breathing and your affirmations while you or before you are eating your dinner, because this rest and digest, getting our parasympathetic nervous system ready to eat, especially if your struggles are surrounding food and your relationship with food, I would actually encourage you to do these types of exercises as a coping mechanism before meals as well.
That's a great idea.
Really get your body into the state that it needs to physically rest and digest.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And I'm really glad that you brought that up. And I think that's maybe a good way to kind of transition into our end here. I know that this episode was full of a lot of scientific things. We went on a little bit of tangents here and there, which I think is, you know what, it's just going to be who we are. It's part of the process of having two people involved in a podcast. It's fun that way.
Yeah.
So as we had mentioned, make sure that you're checking out our social media accounts. I'm going to post some things about, I'm always posting things about coping itself, but I will make some notes around different ways to do deep breathing exercises, affirmations, things like that, some mindfulness exercises, so that you can actually have something tangible to work with. And then as always, if you do need support or want some kind of more specific things directed to your life, reach out. I'm happy to offer a 15-minute complimentary discovery call, which is really cool. It's a great way for us to get to know each other and see if working together might be a good fit.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ashley. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I think that's all I've got today. I talked a lot.
Well, it's your episode, so you rocked it. I appreciate all of the tips. I hope everyone, like always, grabbed something new from this episode. This is what we kind of strive to do, is I hope that you learn at least one thing. I hope that you get a little bit of a laugh at some of our, hectic lives, if you will.
I mean, peeing my pants at a 3-year-old birthday party is hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah, we can all reevaluate our hair parts now. We can all get a little bit more self-conscious if we weren't already. Anyways, this has been the Well Women podcast. Again, follow us on Instagram, like, share. And if you are interested in this podcast, if you like the episodes and you want to continue getting notifications, please subscribe, rate, and review. It helps us out.
It really does. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.